The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews coming at you. And we're nearing the end of 2017. It is December the 27th. And so we're going to kind of wrap up the season, if you will, on the PGA Tour in the year as we get ready on the PGA Tour to head to Hawaii, a beautiful place to start the new year for anybody lucky enough to get over there. So we'll be talking with Art Selinger about some of the things that he observed in 2017, the good, the bad, the ugly, if you will. And, of course, we also have Frank Bassett joining us, as always, from the Nashville studios. How are you doing this morning, Frank?
Cold, brother. It is
cold,
so cold.
Oh, my gosh. It's in the 20s. We're going to be single digits. This is just not – if I wanted to live in Minnesota, I would have moved there. This is crazy. But,
it's
doing great.
Cold everywhere.
Doing great.
Yeah,
Christmas is over, or as my my bride said, over.
Yeah, over. Done.
Take the tree, throw it out, clean up the
house.
By
the way,
you know, get out of here.
Back to the weather thing, it can always be worse, right? If you look at, where is it, Erie, New York, up at Lake Erie near Buffalo. The last 2 days they've had like 45 inches of snow.
It's like as 53,
soon as you shovel yourself out, you're back buried again. So,
that's
it can always be worse.
That's
nuts.
People that live there are crazy.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't either.
How they do it.
Anyway.
We have another guy who's supposed to be in some warm weather, but it's a little bit chilly, like I said, almost everywhere, but probably southern Florida right about now. And that's Art Selinger, who comes at us from South Carolina. How you doing today, Art?
Good morning. Almost happy new year. I'm doing well. Can't complain. It's been nice
good holidays
here, but we're starting to feel the effects of it. So you can't play golf 365 around here anyway.
Yeah. That's kind of the way it is. Did you have good holidays?
Yeah, I really did. My daughter, who plays basketball at Furman, she got all of 7 days off, and she reported to me this morning at yesterday's practice, basically none of the 12 girls could breathe running, and the coach was pretty upset, and they've got a big game tomorrow night. So she says, today they'll be practicing twice.
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Make up for that. That's the way it works there. So
maybe they'll get all the girls to puke everything out. I don't know. But the holidays been great. Our son is home. I don't understand the college situation, why you pay so much and then you get 4.5 weeks off for a break is beyond me, but that's the way it goes.
If I'm paying, I want those kids in class.
At the golf shop the morning of January 2nd, bright and early, and ready to start 2018.
Nice. So it was an eventful year, as always, I guess, in the year 2017. We're going to go over some of the highlights and some of the things that that all of us thought were highlights of the 2017 season as we get closer to it. But before we get there, we haven't talked to you in a little bit, Art, so we have to, because it was over a year that or thereabouts that Tiger went from first start to his next start at the Hero World Challenge. Haven't talked to you since he played at the Hero World Challenge. The whole world got to see some of Tiger. What was your thoughts on how Tiger looked?
I think he's swinging really good at the golf ball. And again, I think his chipper's a little bit bulky. It was tight down there. There's a lot of grain in that Bermuda. No excuses, but I thought he looked really good. Everybody said he's got, another gear. He's got ball speed up around high 170. So if you're above 175, 178, I mean, you can play with anybody. That means if he ever gets into a duel with Rory or Justin Thomas or DJ for that matter, he can hang when it comes to distance. You won't open up an NBC or a CBS show saying he's going to have to be laser sharp because he'll be 50 yards back, because that's not going to be the case. So distance won't be the case. I think the key is how he plans his schedule. I know he was hurt last year, but it was a huge mistake to go over to Dubai after he played Torrey, take that long plane trip. Don't choose brutal golf courses, because those can kill your confidence. So if I was in the Tiger camp, I don't mind the Riviera play. I would put him in Palm Springs and let him play in a pro-am and let him play some more giggle golf where there's one more pro and two ams in the group. I would put him in Phoenix where it's ruckus and you can kind of hit it everywhere and there's not a lot of rough. I would put him at Pebble Beach where he's no stranger to that place. And again, it's a pro-am atmosphere and you have another pro and two amateurs in the group. I would stay away, believe it or not. I know he owns Torrey. I get it. I know he likes PGA National. It's a home game, but the courses are too brutal. I think he should really pick his spots, play some courses he's never played. You know, go play the Houston Open where it's kind of wide open and it's cut down like Augusta. Go play some golf tournaments he hadn't played. Make some more fans and let some people that have never seen him play, but be very careful about playing brutal golf courses because that can really hurt the confidence. But I'm as interested as anybody to see, again, when you play the Hero Challenge, the fairways are super wide. There's no premium on driving there. But he played great. He swung great, and he looks good.
So what about the fact that he's kind of going on his own now, right? He's gone through a few different swing coaches. Now he says he's just going to do it himself.
He should have gone. Honestly, that's where he should have gone when he left Hank. And I have nothing against Sean Foley, but it was a whole new way to learn how to play and swing the golf club. And what you're realizing is there's many ways to swing the golf club and play the game of golf and get it in the hole. You know, just look at the top 10 players in the world. None of them swing the same. Everybody says these guys are robots, and I disagree. Look at DJ's swing. Look at Justin Thomas's swing. Look at the nuances of Jordan Spieth's swing. Rory's got different action. Sergio has different action. They all have different action.
Ricky, yeah.
So I don't understand the robot mentality, but I like him on his own. Trust me, I've talked to Hank before, and it's no secret. This guy knows as much or more about the golf swing as anybody on the planet. So he doesn't need anybody standing behind him or teaching him a whole new set of problems is what it becomes, because you become in between your last method and your new method, and that's a bad place to be, is in between old and new. And I really think he knows what he's doing, and I think he's going to do fine. I'm worried about the chipper. I just want to see, because he was just amazing pitcher of the golf ball, and he's gone now using the leading edge of the golf club. With that, everybody listening, what that means is there's a lot more lean in the shaft, hands forward, and he's more descending angle, and you'll see more divot taking. Rather than he used to clip the ball, use the bounce, brush the ground, and that takes exceptional feel and touch, and he's not using the bounce as much. So I'm anxious to see when he gets on some other golf courses. If the chipper works, then he's going to be fine.
Well, they haven't said anything so far, Frank, have they, as far as Tiger, his people, about what's next, what's in order, where his schedule goes in 2018 yet?
No, not a thing. They're very tight-lipped about that. Okay. No, nothing's out there yet.
They hinted on Genesis in L.A. They just hinted on that, but they haven't released it. Why I'm saying stay away from Torrey, guys, is the rough, especially, I don't know how wet it's been down there, but the rough can just be brutal down there, and that's where you can get kind of even hurt. I just think he needs to just switch it up. If I had a little say, I would play some other golf courses. If I play like Colonial, I play Travelers, I just would really mix it up and not the normal predictable schedule we've all been used to for year upon year upon year with him, and play some different tracks and see what happens.
We're talking with Art Selinger, two-time long drive champion and expert on the game of golf and the swing and everything else. And one final thing about Tiger, Art, when you say he can get the ball out there like he used to and like the guys today, the top player, a lot of the top players hit it 325, 330 plus when they need to.
Sure.
Is that good for Tiger to still want to be able to do that? Or should Tiger have a backup or be able to say, okay, I need to be able to play from 30 yards behind those guys because I'm a lot more torn up than those guys are. Not only am I older, but my body might not be able to handle trying to hit the 325, 330 yard drives.
I don't think he's going all out to do it. That's what's amazing, Tim. He's in incredible shape. He just produces enough club head speed, and he's so efficient. His club head delivery, the path and face, angle of approach are so perfect that he produces a lot out of a little. So when you have 177, 178 miles an hour ball speed, that's just an effect of how great he's swinging. He's not going all out, I promise you. And I'll just, you know, looking at last year, again, he played so little last year, and he was hurt last year. You really can't tell. In my opinion, he plays premium equipment over the garbage he used to play. That's all to it. That's why the garbage he used to play is out of business. He played trash. Sorry to be straight up about it, but he now plays a driver that produces a lot more velocity. He's playing a better golf ball, in my opinion, a lot harder golf ball than he used to play, but he's playing a better driver. I think the driver alone is worth 15 yards from what he used to play. So I think that has something. I just don't see him exerting himself to hit the golf ball as far as he's hitting it. I really don't. So I don't think he's trying to play long ball.
Okay.
He's just at 41 years old, still has, you know, he's still strong. You know, you look at some 40-year-olds that come to mind that are in great shape and just kill it, or like Paul Casey as well, another guy at 40. But don't be shocked, people. It's the time of the 20-somethings, the early 20-somethings coming right out of college. These guys are playing. If anybody's like surprised when they see a Xander Schauffele win or 24-year-old guys win, John Rahm coming right out, I mean, that's just, there's zero shock to me in what Schauffele did last year. He's that good. Another one of those guys, part of that class of 2011 out of high school. But these, another guy coming out, look out for Aaron Wise, man. This guy can kill it. Maverick McNealy, all these 20-somethings. It's just the new normal. There's no shock if these guys win 2, 3, 4 times. If any of the guys I just mentioned win a major, there's no shock in the world to me. It really isn't.
Well, that leads us to a few questions that I have for you guys for the 2017 season, the best of, if you will. And you've kind of already gotten maybe some of them out of the way. There are with best newcomers or to expect in 2018. But let's start with the best player on the tour last year. Maybe it's a foregone conclusion, but I'm curious what both of you think. Frank, what do you think? Best player on the tour last year?
Huh? Well, I mean, I don't know. You got to go with Justin Thomas, or at least I do.
Yeah.
You do.
It'd be hard to argue against that.
I think he was. I mean, obviously he was the most consistent.
He won a lot. He won big. Won a lot of money. Yeah, not much else you could have asked of Justin Thomas. You agree with that, Art?
I do. I mean, on paper he was. He came out of the gates early and won both those Hawaii tournaments. And, you know, when you win that, and then he won CIMB before that. So he had three before January the 15th, you know, hit us.
Yeah.
But then he went dry, and then he got hot, and PGA, and then he won a playoff event. So, yes, but I don't see Jordan Spieth here very far behind that. And, you know, I don't. Interested to see, you know, how they're both going to follow up monster years. I mean, Spieth, what, got his 14th win last year and his third major. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
DJ, there's just so many great guys that, great players. But I guess if you had to give the player of the year, as they all did last year, you give it to Justin Thomas. But, you know, I don't asterisk those three wins, whether, you know, the short field over there at CIMB, the short field at Kapalua, he went off. There's no question. Then he won Hawaii, shooting 59. That's, you know, so again, three of those wins came out real early. That's why I'm not a big fan of this fall golf. You know, because it's for some and not for everybody, and people get sometimes inflated numbers. He didn't, but I'm just saying some do. It has an effect, a major effect on the FedEx playoff. The season's way too long, way too cumbersome, and players are already starting out. There's already too many short fields as it is that guys that want to play can't get in, from the four WGCs to the Invitationals to the majors. So the guys that do have cards, they can't get in those. And then the guys that are the top players don't play in the fall. You know, they're not playing Vegas or Sea Island or Mayakoba or Safeway. I mean, they're reaching down to players in the categories that they can't even find to play in Mississippi. And I can't fathom that these tournaments, you know, carry the weight they do when it comes to FedEx Cup playoffs. It just don't understand this tour having 49 events, and I think it's going to have to change. I don't get it.
Well, Tim, your turn.
For best player?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go with Thomas,
Oh, was that
too.
The question?
I
mean,
Did I get off into something else? Yeah, I got it. I mean, Justin just had a great year. I think it might have been Spieth had Thomas not won his major. You know, if he had just won five or six tournaments but not a major, I think it might have been Spieth's year. But,
well, certainly Spieth was the most exciting, I think.
Yeah, well, and it leads me to the next question. What was the best tournament? What did you think the best tournament or most exciting tournament was last year, Art, or this year, 2017?
I thought the best golf tournament was the Masters. I thought the most exciting and riveting and just jaw-dropping and a tournament you'll remember forever is the Open, by far.
Yeah.
I mean, just how what he did there with Kuchar and how he played the last six holes and, you know, how things went down. I just say cheers to NBC and Golf Channel for making the Open Championship what it should be. ABC and ESPN low-budgeted that thing for so many years. I'm around a lot of TV stuff. You guys are in media. You can agree or disagree. But what NBC and Golf Channel have done for the Open Championship, I'm saying the play's been great from Stenson and Mickelson down the stretch, what have you. But I really like the way they cover the golf tournament out. It really covered well. That tournament, to me, was the most riveting tournament and one you'll remember, one that they're going to do a documentary on down the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree.
You stole mine. The Open Championship was mine. It was unbelievable to me. It was riveting golf. I mean, it was riveting television. I loved it. It was the best.
When you say, Art, that they had coverage from wall to wall, they literally had to get a camera on a practice range to get one of the shots of the last 20 years that people are going to remember. How did they even find where his ball was and where he ended up behind the Titleist trailer? And that was, by the way, 20 minutes. Normally I would be screaming at my TV. It's like a long timeout and a challenge in football. You're like, get it done. I was still on the edge of my chair going, what is he going to do? Where's he moving it? Now, I was compelled by the whole thing. I wasn't bored by it and saying, let's get to it. Even though it took him, about an hour and a half to hit that shot? It was still great TV.
I'm surprised Titleist hasn't used that footage in their marketing, because I mean, there's the Titleist trailer.
Yeah.
There's
a 20-minute commercial for Titleist.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Yeah, it was.
That was my favorite.
How about your?
It shows you the complexity of the rules, and when you know the rules, how you can use the rules to your advantage and what your options are. Obviously, we don't play into those conditions where there's dunes that high in mountains where your line of sight is obstructed. We don't play in situations where there's tour vans like those are. But I caddied this summer in Canada, and my player, who hits it extremely far, Sadlowski, on the sixth hole the final day, we took an unplayable. The trees were so tall in Kelowna, B.C. Guys, I mean, these pines or fir trees, whatever they are, they went to the sky. And we went back. I told Jamie, we're going back 120 extra yards from where this ball is. Because if you're strong enough to hit it over him once, you can hit it over him back. But we're going way back. He was about 150 from the green from the unplayable. We hit the next shot from 265 where he hit the green. But you have that option to keep that point between yourself and the hole and go back as far as you want. Obviously, we didn't have an immovable obstruction we could take another drop from like Jordan did, but this kid, he's smart, a genius to be able to do that. A lot of guys just focus on two club lengths from that point, drop there, hack it out, but I mean, he had a plan.
Yeah, he did.
Mentally he's so far ahead, it's not even funny where his mind is, what he gets. I forget who I was playing golf with Brant Jobe at the Four Seasons in Dallas during our Four Seasons Cup, and he spoke at the dinner the night before. And not to take too much more time, but in 20 seconds he said this: nobody gets more out of their round than Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth. Where he hits it, everybody else would shoot 3 to 4 or 5 shots higher, but he can get it done. And he talked about Tiger doing that when he played with Els and Tiger at PGA National. He said where Tiger drove it, he'd have shot 75 that day, no issue whatsoever, and Tiger shot 61. remember the Honda Classic when he shot 61. Brent was in that group with Ernie Els. He told the whole story, said he cannot fathom that round still spooks him every time he thinks about it.
Speaking of Ernie Els, Ernie Els had some exciting news over the holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, no kidding. He will be playing in the Masters, invited to the Masters. So I think that's great. Good for Ernie.
Good for him.
Good dude. Els for Autism, great cause. We love Ernie. He's a great guy.
I ran into Spieth.
Great point, Frank. Good one.
Yes. Yeah, Spieth and his mom were both having lunch separately at a place not too far from my house. I was having lunch, and his mom and his sister came in, and we spoke for just a little bit. And then about 30 minutes later, Spieth walked in by himself to get something to eat. And I tell you what, for as phenomenal as he is, and we all brag about him and are impressed, he comes and goes and looks like another guy. And so unless you're really into golf, I don't think a lot of people,
who
wears a lot of Under Armour, would even know, oh, that's that guy that, yeah. So, but anyway, class guy, wonderful guy, and good to see him. Okay, how about your best shot, Frank? What was the best shot you remember from last year? One shot.
Spieth's bunker shot to win the tournament.
Yeah. Travelers.
Travelers. Yep, that's it. That was the most exciting shot I saw all year to me.
It won a tournament, and it also was a great reaction to hitting the shot, right? It wasn't like, oh, I hit it, and you're like, a lot of guys just kind of wave, hey, thanks, nice shot. I mean, it was an NBA
flying
reaction.
Clubs, flying rakes, flying caddy, flying speed.
Yeah. It was almost great. Chest bumped back into the bunker.
I know.
Yeah. Fell down. How about you, Art? You remember a shot that stands out?
Wow. I think the putt that he made, and then he pointed at Greller and said, go get that. That's my shot here. I love that.
That was pretty impressive. Another speed.
He would never do that. It just shows you what kind of zone or world or how far off planet Earth he was, that how intense of a competitor he is for him to just do that. I love it. I think it's a greatness. I was going to ask you guys, how do you think he's going to play now that he's going to be getting married and he is now engaged?
Yeah.
Great. He's been with her forever. I mean, she's the sweetest person on the face of the earth, too. So
no change then? No issues
I don't
there.
Think so. I think he's too mentally tough and strong for that to change.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head, too, Art, when you said that it's between the ears where he has really separated himself. And there's a lot of great players, but there's a big difference between he and Dustin Johnson when it comes to strategy and playing it. And I think he and almost everybody else on the field, that's why he's got 14 wins. You know, and the guy's 24 years old and three majors, and with a few changes here and there, could have had five majors by now. So, I mean, he's one of those rare guys that you only see once every generation. And I think we're going to see him have these kind of years and expect to win three, four, five, six tournaments, be in contention for majors for the next 15 years. I really do. I'd be shocked if he isn't.
You're right. He's already in the Hall of Fame. Think about it right now. So that's already done. Three majors, 14 wins. You know, he's already there. He's a President's Cup, a Ryder Cup hero. No issue there. Watch out for old Rick Fowler this year, though, boys. This guy might have a monster year. I think of the three amigos there, those three guys, I think it's his turn now. And I think he might. I mean, he could win a half a dozen tournaments this year. I think it's coming. For now that Justin got his major, I think Rick Fowler is gonna.
It's certainly time.
That's my pick to go ballistic.
I think he should grow his hair out again. Let the hair grow out.
Always something new.
Yeah.
What kind of pants? Hey, Art. The last one I want to ask you is your favorite new rule change? Because we know Art is a lover of the rules of golf.
Why did you start this?
So they've obviously gotten some dramatic changes and finally done some things that we've talked about for a long, long time. Many more maybe need to be done, but they've done some things. What do you like about any of the changes, Art?
I like you can putt with the pin in. That's pretty cool. Let's see. New rule changes. 3 minutes to look for your golf ball.
Speed things up.
Still screwed up the anchoring. They still can't get that right. You know, everybody that thinks they're not anchoring, they're anchoring. So except for Tom Kite, who has a visible 4 inches between his chest and the putter because he doesn't want to be talked about. But I'm going to have to say, watch out for this tap down the spike mark deal, and now make the trough all the way to the hole. You're going to be seeing some water getting pretty hard. So I'm kind of glad about that rule. But again, like every other rule, whether it's anchoring or whatever, and again, the anchoring thing, you have to call that on yourself. You cannot call that on somebody. That is a self-policed rule. So it's the intent. Was I brushing my shirt or my windbreaker and I'm in, or was I not in my chest, what have you? So like every other rule, it'll be abused. Whatever it is, look for it to be abused. You can tap spike marks down. I mean, they're going to be tapping down the whole green. So I don't know. Yeah. What do you guys think about some of the rule changes and what's going to be best?
I think that the three-minute looking for your ball rule is offset by the tapping down now because they're just going to spend that time tapping down marks.
Yeah.
I don't
think it could be.
Well said.
I don't know.
I really wish the shot clock would come into play. I really wish they did it on one of these tour events, and I'm talking about a digital clock. That is
on
around. Every group has a couple guys riding around in a cart, and they've got one of those Daktronics shot clocks like we see on the NBA. I really think this game would make incredible strides, but who's going to have the guts to do it? They need the shot clock. And then the referee in each group has the authority to turn the shot clock off, like let's say in the speed situation when he's trying to get the rule right. But when it's a normal course of play, that baby flicks on at 40 seconds. When you get to your ball, I mean, it would change golf. We've already changing it so much. I'm telling you, it would be tough at first, but it would change the game for the better to no end. The shot clock is what needs to come in pro golf, and it would trickle down to amateur golf. I really think that's what needs to happen.
Here's a visual for you, talking about refs and all that. Slugger White in a zebra suit. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Slugger in a ref uniform.
Referee Slugger.
Referee
by the way,
Slugger.
Art, they are going to do that in a couple of European events, are they not?
Yeah,
if they remember that.
Yeah,
they're going to have the shot clock.
They loved it. I'm telling you, it would change the way we watch TV. You know, every time I'm watching golf, my wife walks by and she won't watch. Too slow.
Yeah.
Too slow. That's all she says. All the time. Too slow. Continuous putting. I mean, would be great. And I know they're playing for a lot of money. I know how fragile these titles are and whatever, but if it was within the rules, it would be, you would really appreciate this game. It won't be rushed. It'll be correct. And they don't care about money. Fine them all you want. You start taking two shots away, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really – I played in the USGA event and the qualifier for the Open this year, and the rule clearly states when it's your turn, you have 40 seconds to play. Out in California, I carried for the – in the web.com qualifier, they incorporated the 40-second rule, and a guy in our group well, of course, you have to get two warnings before you get two bad times before you get the penalty. I don't believe in that. I mean, you break the rule, you break the rule. But the PGA Tour has the resources to implement the clock, period. And if they did it, it would be game over. It would be incredible. Of course, you'd get bitching and moaning from guys that are slow. But I've caddied out there. I caddied in Safeway just this last October. And it is painful. Especially when I caddy for a fast player, it's painful, and you got to join the party. I mean, or else you're really going to have a very miserable, irritating day. And let's
be honest, Art. I mean, you've proved
terrible.
It. You proved it in long driving. You have a clock, and have always had a clock in long driving events. And guys are sometimes down to the last. They got three balls, and they got 30 seconds. Well, they're teeing it up. They're hitting it because they have to. That's what you have to do, and you adapt to it. You don't sit there and go, "Oh, I need more time." Because that's the rule for everybody. So no different than the NBA. Never at the early days, never had Bob Cousy never had a shot clock. So it's always been about speeding up play so people can get into it. Shot clocks in every sport and football and everything else about the speed of the game. And somehow golf has lagged behind that to say, okay, we're different. baseball's still the same, but baseball, people have talked about that too, saying you got to somehow speed that up. You can't have pitching changes and guys stepping out of the batter's box and all to try to slow the game up. Nobody's going to watch. Fewer and fewer millennials are going to say, this is fun for me. There's no action. So I think you're on to something as far as finally getting something done. We'll see. We'll see if that European rule, if that's going to trickle over and have more of it. As far as being official, you know, that you actually have a shot clock.
Not going to happen. Yeah. Nope.
I don't know, Frank. There was a time when you didn't think they would let you tap down a spike mark, you know? So
I don't understand how they missed the Sandfield divot, though, guys. Frank, what do you think about that?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
How is it that somebody can come along with a pail after you play and take a scoop and put a bunch of sand in this divot that wasn't filled or barely filled, then you drive it right down Main Street the next day, and you're right in this new man-made bunker in the middle of the fairway, and that is not considered ground under repair. How is that
penalizing prosperity?
Yeah,
that's penalizing prosperity. You've hit a great shot, you're penalized.
All right, now, weren't you the one who said that if you go to a Nicklaus course, doesn't he have home rules, if you will, that a lot of his courses, he allows you to move out of a divot? Was that you that said that? Do you know that or no?
That was not me. No, okay. That was
I think
not.
Somebody else said that. I think somebody else said that about a Nicklaus courses.
I haven't heard the actual course rules.
For amateurs,
yeah. We always move
right.
it anyway.
Yeah, for amateurs.
Well, I know we do. But they actually make
everybody
it as a rule.
Frank, you do that anyway, don't you?
I do. Heck yeah. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, we preset that when we play. I mean, my group that we play with all the time, we all know, look, you put it in a divot. If you're in the fairway and there's mud on it or whatever, we're playing by local rules, lift, clean, and place, no matter what, if there's mud on it. So, and sand divots.
Absolutely, guys. Just remember, the courses these guys play have been waiting 52 weeks for them to show up again. Tim, you've walked those fairways. Frank, you have as well. I've walked them with a bag on my shoulder before. The manicuring is incredible. They're catching that golf course on its peak condition. It is like carpet. So it's, you know, I think the amateurs do need to play by different rules. I played a local course here in South Carolina yesterday, Dunes West, great golf course. I mean, but it's winter time, and there's a lot of divots and things like that. But like you said, mud on the ball. We can't play by the same rules they're playing. I would love to have seen some tour players have to chip the golf ball out of some lies where I had to chip it from yesterday. And I'm not taking anything away from their skill level, but it wouldn't look too good with patchy Bermuda and wet Bermuda in between where my golf ball was to the side of the fourth green yesterday. I mean, it was impossible. And they just don't have lies like that. Salts to it. It's perfect out there. Which leads to the last thing. You can't play by the same set of rules they have. Conditions are different. You can have some rules the way they do, but the amateur needs to move the golf ball, you know, especially in the winter time and when course isn't good. I mean, because they're playing on carpet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Lift, clean in place year round. Here we go.
My last thing is for the best new rule is I appreciate that you'll never ever get a guy calling from Bob in Toledo. Is going to change someone's score.
That's the best. I didn't think that's the best.
Yeah. Stop taking the phone calls from the average guy who wants to change Lexi Thompson's future.
That's just
not right.
That was a crime. That was a crime.
Yeah. Way overdue for that rule to finally. I don't know how people found numbers. I don't know who to call, but it would get through. Oh, well, yeah, let's take a look at that again.
How do they get the number to – who are the people that are calling?
Yeah. Who are you calling in the trailer? Yeah, how do you know?
You know how to get those numbers. We have those numbers. But so how did they get those numbers?
Yeah, yeah. I guarantee you Lance Barrow's not taking my call if I call and say, hey, you know, I saw something just a minute ago, Lance. He's like, he's not taking my call. Who takes a call?
Hey, he's a Vanderbilt guy, man. Come on.
He'll take it.
I think they start at the USGA first. And then they go from there. I don't know what these people do. I don't know what they're doing.
I wish they turn off their TV.
Many a player has been safe at first base that's gone to the dugout. Many a player has been out that stood on first base. I was watching the NBA game on Christmas Day with LeBron and all these replays, and boy, Van Gundy was going ballistic over this, and I couldn't agree more. Yep. Horrible. It took away the rhythm of the game. Everybody getting extra timeouts to plan their stuff because they had to review. I mean, it's bad. If they call it in that group, great. If they miss it, they miss it. You know, it's all to do it. It's just
there's always been those kind of calls. Yeah, there's sports, and that's exactly right. Games are often won and lost because of the way a referee calls a play or doesn't. So, you know, that's what we got to live with. Hey, Art, before I let you go, I know you're a foodie, so I got to ask you too. And Frank was recently in South Carolina, so my last question of the 2017: what's the best low country food that you've eaten since you've now moved to South Carolina?
And now that my pant sizes are four sizes more, this is sinful.
Oh,
this
it is. I know.
It's scary down here. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you, but I mean, there's 15 varieties of shrimp and grits down here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable what you
cheese
just can't find
grits,
a bad restaurant.
Cheese
around.
Grits.
Even for breakfast.
Hey,
it's just off the chain.
Hey, Art, if you get a chance.
This is where you want to go before you go to the electric chair to eat.
I'm glad to know that. Yeah. Hey, Art, if you get a chance, slide over to Santee. We'll call the pro and introduce you. But go to Clark's restaurant there. And it's Clark's is a hotel and restaurant. It's like walking into a Hallmark movie, and the food is incredible. So you
it doesn't sound like he needs more food recommendations.
I drive by that all the time. I drive by Santee because I go up that 96 to 95. So, I mean, up and down the whole corridor from Savannah up here it is just amazing. And I'm paying for it. I need to get back to Dallas and get back on protein shakes, Matthews. I mean, it's crazy.
I'll tell you.
By whom?
Yes.
Favorite protein shake. I'm looking for health this 2018 year.
We need to talk to Troy Van Beesen because Troy Art is coming out with some
new stuff,
protein shakes and protein stuff. Do you know about that? He's got like a line of supplements coming out.
Yeah,
I do. He and Zach Junks and Zach's wife. Yeah, he told me about it. Of course, you know I don't have the discipline to even get close to trying it. But yes, he does have it. Have you seen Troy? And you know Troy. I mean, he's in incredible shape and.
Yeah.
He has that word I don't, which is called discipline. That's why I can't move these days. So I'll have to definitely try that. I don't know what kind of rock bottom I need to hit to do so, but maybe I'll get
maybe. Well, I can tell you that Glenn Levitt's not a protein shake, but I do have.
Oh, Grey Goose didn't fall in there. That's perfect.
Yeah, Grey Goose is not a protein shake, baby.
It was festive yesterday when I played. We had peppermint vodka. It was really good.
Ooh, that sounds good.
You're warm.
Nice breath.
That's a healthy
good breath.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like schnapps. You got to do something to stay warm.
Yeah. I will tell you that I played golf one time with a guy who liked to drink vodka on the golf course. He's since passed. He was a writer from the Chicago Trib, and a guy named Louis Grizzard. Ever heard of Louis Grizzard?
I don't know.
Have not.
Comedian. Oh, check him out. Look him up on Google him. Louis Grizzard, Grizzard. He said it's not Grizzard. Grizzard means sissy welfare recipient. Grizzard means wild stallion is how he used to say his name. But he was great, great writer. Great writer. Elvis is Dead and I Don't Feel So Good Myself is one of his books. Don't Bend Over in the Garden, Granny. Them Taters, They Got Eyes. That's another one of his books. I mean, this is intellectual reading for Frank. But I've never been that snookered on a golf course that when I drank vodka one-on-one with Louis Grizzard in South Carolina and Georgia, by the way.
Well, there's an art to this.
Frank, wait till we
drip.
Tee it up. I'll teach you a new meaning.
You got it.
I was going to say.
I'm all about that.
Yeah. The slow drip, Art.
Yeah, just get the IV pole, put it on the golf cart, and let's go.
Yep.
Oh, you just got to stay on the drip because I'll tell you what, you don't want to yip a putt. You don't want a chunk of chip. So therefore,
oh, no.
You got to stay on the drip.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fine, it's a fine balancing act, though, before it tips over the edge.
And Dr. Sellinger has it down pat too.
I'll prescribe to Dr. Sellinger's elixir. So there you go.
All right, Artie, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us here on our final show for 2017. Have a great new year, you and your family, and God bless all of you. We'll talk to you again real soon in the new year.
You boys do the same. Great to always be with you. Thanks.
Happy New Year.
Okay.
Art. See ya.
Take care. Art Sellinger.
There you go.
Art Sellinger will, Frank. He does have, and it should be in a booklet form. It's not a whole book, but a booklet form of
booklet.
the slow vodka drip by Dr. Art Sellinger, because he's got it to the pregame, the actual how many per hole, how you do it, and
does
the
really?
Post game, and oh yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We need to do that. We need to Artie's elixir.
Maintain it. That, yeah,
we need to coin that
yes.
phrase.
Yes.
Artie's elixir. That's a new vodka. You. Let's call Bill Conville Penhive Vodka,
yeah, we'll
and have with the specialty of Artie's elixir. There you
and
go.
Put Art's little recipe on the back. That's all it needs to be. Maybe not.
Wouldn't
even a
that
book,
be hilarious?
Just in the back, like when you start, how much.
Why
don't we get to it?
Why are we giving away all these ideas to everybody on the show?
I don't know.
That's not smart, is it?
Yeah.
So anyway, 2018 is going to be fun. We're going to have a great time. This is our last show for 2017.
Our first event of 2018 will be in Orlando, will it not? You'll be heading there?
Oh, for our first event that we'll – I thought you were talking
for
golf.
Show.
Yes, absolutely. The PGA Merchandise Show will be in Orlando. I'll be gone for a couple of weeks just on the road. I'll be at the tour office for a while and – the LPGA headquarters and the PGA Tour, our PGA Merchandise Show, put on by the PGA of America, not to be confused with the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Whew, that was a lot. Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be on the main stage outside of the equipment entrance, main equipment entrance into the show, like we were last year. You won't be with us this year, or maybe you will. We don't know yet. Depends on your schedule. But
there'll be banners and everything. People will be able to see us.
Yeah,
so if you're going, then stop by and listen, because we'll have all kinds of guests. The beauty of it is that there's scheduled people that will be there that we know about and have planned. But you never know who's going to walk by.
Chi-Chi Rodriguez.
The moment.
Was that hilarious?
You know,
just, hey, come on, Chi-Chi, jump up here.
And other people that are the guys that are into, we had Bobby Clampett.
Bobby Clampett got
into wines, and Paul Stankowski is doing leather. So a lot of
he got on the stage and lied and had me in tears and said it was a joke.
I'm just saying they have other things going on outside of their golf game, and they're there as part of, you know, whatever equipment they're using. So those people stop by. So it's a lot of fun.
It is really a lot of fun. We had Carsten Solheim 2 years ago. Not Carsten Solheim, but John Solheim. Excuse me. Carsten's his father who's passed.
Yeah.
Ping, for those who don't know, where have you been?
Yeah.
But maybe we'll get PXG on the show this year. We had him on the show at the Masters.
The Masters we did. Yeah, we did. And also our producer friend, can't remember his name, from Tommy Boy.
Tommy's Honor, the executive producer of Tommy's Honor, who is now the chairman of the board, or CEO of Champion Golf Fitting. That was Keith Bank. We'll have Keith on for sure. I'll call him.
Yeah,
he's great. We'll talk about Champion Fitting and all that. Maybe we'll get you refitted, Tim. I've just been fitted. So.
Yeah. Be nice. So there's a lot of excitement. So that's coming up at the end of January in Orlando at the PGA Merchandise Show, which is a major event. It takes up about, a million square feet?
Oh, it's
convention center? Yeah.
Yeah, it is huge. That Orange County Convention Center is one of the biggest in the country, if not the biggest.
And it's just packed with all kinds of neat things. So,
And
then you get to go do, you know, people come on and then they say, hey, come on over. And next thing you know, you're hitting in a air compression chamber with 47 different electrodes stuck on your brain. And I mean, everybody's got something else and they wanted you to try it. So it's kind of fun that we get to be some guinea pigs.
Robo Golf Pro, Scott Nye, our friend there. Owns that. Robo Golf Pro is a neat machine too. People ought to check that out. It's really cool.
Yep. Plug in almost any swing and see if you can.
So it'll be fun. It's been a fun year,
pal.
It's been a fun year. A lot of work. We traveled a lot. Thanks to Azalea House for that.
We did
all the travels and our French Lick Resort. Thanks to them for all they do for us and all the fun I have when we go up there and the tournaments. We'll be doing more with Mr. Sweeney and Dave Harner, who's director of golf operations at French Lick and. Dave's band. He plays in a band. He's a guitarist and sings in a band in French Lick.
Really?
Pretty cool stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, thanks to everybody that's helped us this year. And special thanks to you for flying this plane.
Sure. Dave Logue and all the people at PGA Tour Entertainment and helping with PGA Tour Radio and all the different entities in the media part of PGA Tour have all been great and let us get this out to everybody that's listening right now, which virtually millions of people.
Yep. Millions of people.
Listen to us all this year. Millions and millions of people.
And billions
kind of cool.
and billions of stars. Millions.
Pretty cool.
PGAtour.com is the largest. If you combine everybody else's website in golf, it's still not, doesn't even get close to PGAtour.com. And that's where we live, which is a beautiful thing. We love our friends at the PGA Tour, and we thank them. I'll be in Ponte Vedra, by the way, after the PGA Merchandise Show. I'm going to head to Ponte Vedra, my old stomping grounds, and see some old friends and travel through Florida a little bit. Stay away from here as long as possible. It's cold in this place.
Stay where it's warm.
No kidding. All right, buddy. Yeah. Have a great New Year.
Okay.
And
you too.
Try to keep it between the channel markers if you take the boat out.
I will do it. It's a final thought right there.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We appreciate you listening all year in 2017, and please be back in 2018 for another great year of Golf Talk America. For Art Sellinger and Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you again next time, next year, on Golf Talk America.